Would you take your Bible, please, and open it to Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. Mark, chapter 9. And in our journey through the Gospel of Mark, we come this morning to verses 42 through 50 of the ninth chapter of the Gospel of Mark. This morning I want us to think about this subject. Don't go to hell. Don't go to hell. I've had a number of occasions across the years when people have invited me to go to hell, and I refuse to go. But I want to talk to you this morning about don't go to hell. Hell is not a popular topic in the modern American pulpit. We don't hear many sermons on the topic of hell. In fact, I confess to you that as a pastor, preacher, it's not easy for me to speak on this topic. And the older I get, the harder it is to preach on the doctrine of hell. And some would counsel pastors to stay away from such preaching. They would encourage us to focus on God's love and God's grace, to focus on the abundant life which is ours in Christ Jesus, to talk about the peace and joy which come to the sons and daughters of God, and to go to great lengths to avoid talking about the doctrine of eternal damnation or hell. However, I agree with R.G. Lee. For some 33 years, the pastor of the Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Dr. Lee once stated, "I know some people call the preacher who stands squarely upon the teaching of Christ and his apostles narrow, harsh, and cruel. As to being narrow, I have no desire to be any broader than was Jesus. As to being cruel, is it cruel to tell men the truth? Is a man to be called cruel who declares the whole counsel of God and points out to men their danger? Is it cruel to arouse sleeping people to the fact that the house is on fire? Is it cruel to warn people on an excursion ship that the ship has sprung a leak and they must get to the lifeboats? Is it cruel to tell Miami that a hurricane is headed for the city? Is it cruel to jerk a blind man away from the rattlesnake in the coil? Is it cruel to declare to people the deadliness of disease and to tell them which medicine to take? Is it cruel to label poison with the crossbones and the skull?" And then Dr. Lee said, "I would rather be called cruel for being kind than to be called kind for being cruel." It's not an easy topic, not easy for your pastor, but it's no laughing matter. Some time ago, I was driving down College Street, and I was behind a student in a traffic light, and I noticed the bumper sticker on his car. It had these words, "Hell was full, I came back." And obviously for this particular student, this is a laughing matter. That to him, there is no hell, or if there is a hell, it's not that bad of a place anyway. What about hell? A recent survey of Americans indicated that 89% of Americans believe in heaven, but only 73% believe in hell. And of those who believe in an afterlife, 76% of them believe they're going to heaven when they die. And only 2% believe they're going to hell when they die. And the rest, some other place, perhaps some purgatory which does not exist, or reincarnation, which is certainly denied by the clear teaching of the Bible. But only 2 in 100 Americans who believe in an afterlife believe that they are on their road, on the way to hell. The fact of the matter is that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, we won't look there now, but you can check it later, Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus says, "Broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many there be that walk it. And narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few follow that way." Well, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, Jesus warns us, don't go to hell. Now, I invite you to follow the text, please. We'll begin reading with verse 42. Mark chapter 9, verse 42. Jesus said, if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other. What Jesus is saying here is, whatever you do, make sure that you don't go to hell. Jesus uses 3 metaphors here. The hand, the foot, and the eye. In fact, they're very gory metaphors as Jesus speaks them, to warn us against the awful destiny of hell. He talks about a severed hand and a severed foot and a gouged out eye to say to us, don't go to hell. Now, I want you to think with me this morning from this text about this very serious and solemn and awesome subject spoken from the lips of the Lord Jesus, spoken from the heart and from the lips of the most tender, compassionate, loving, merciful, gracious, kind individual who ever lived, the Lord Jesus Christ, who warns us, don't go to hell. First of all, look in verse 43. Here Jesus uses the hand as a metaphor. And in verse 43, Jesus says to us, hell is a greater horror than losing a hand. Greater than losing your hand is to be cast into the place called hell. Look again in verse 43. Jesus said, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with 2 hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. Now, the hand symbolizes action. It symbolizes what we do. It represents actions that we take. Now, we can use our hands for purposes noble or ignoble, for purposes both good and evil. I want you to understand that the hand in and of itself is not evil. But the hand can become an instrument of sin. The hand can become an instrument of disobedience to God's commands. I mean, I can take these hands of mine and I can use them to lift this Bible and gaze upon the words and feed my soul on the Word of God by means of my hands. I can take these same hands and take a butcher knife in my hand and stab someone in the back until the life flows out of them. And so the hands can become instruments of evil. And in verse 43, Jesus said, if your hand causes you to sin, then cut it off. If your hand causes you to disobey God, get rid of that hand. Now why? Because Jesus said, it is better to go to heaven minus a hand than to go to hell with both hands. Better to be in glory as a one-handed man or a one-handed woman than to be in hell with both arms and both hands. Now, lest you misunderstand, when Jesus uses the hand here, cutting off the hand, he's not speaking of a literal amputation of your hand. He's speaking metaphorically here. And what he's saying to us is this. Whatever it takes to gain eternal life, whatever it takes to enter into heaven, whatever it takes to know God, whatever it takes to miss hell, then take whatever it takes so that you don't go to hell. Now, just as a surgeon would amputate an arm or a hand or a leg or a foot that had become infected and become so greatly infected that if you don't amputate, the person is going to die because of the infection. Jesus is saying, spiritually, whatever it takes to avoid sin, whatever it takes to obey God, whatever it takes to experience salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever it takes to miss hell, then Jesus said, take that action. Do whatever it takes. And some people are on their way to hell. They know that Jesus is the Savior. They know in their mind that there's only one way to God, that's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But they know that when they come to the Lord Jesus Christ, He's going to call for a radical transformation of their character and their lifestyle. And there's some things in their lives they're unwilling to give up. Some habits they're unwilling to yield. They want to hold on to the sin represented by their hand. And Jesus is saying, if there's some harmful habits in your life that must be forsaken in order to come to trust me fully and to walk with me in total obedience, then Jesus is saying, let them go. Do whatever it takes. But whatever you do, don't go to hell. It's a solemn and an awesome and an awful thought to contemplate eternity in hell. Jesus said that hell is a greater horror than losing one of your hands. In verse 42, Jesus said that hell is a greater horror than losing a foot. Not just a hand, but a foot. Far greater than losing a foot is to be cast into hell. Look in verse 45. Jesus said, if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell. Now, if the hand symbolizes what we do, the foot symbolizes where we go. And Jesus says to us, if your foot causes you to sin, if your foot causes you to go places where you are tempted to yield to sin and to do things that keep you away from God and from the kingdom of God, then Jesus said, take whatever measures you need to take so that you don't go those places. Again, it's not a call to literally sever your foot, but it's a call to take whatever measures are necessary to stay away from places that cause you to stay away from God. Jesus said, if your foot causes you to sin. Again, the foot, like the hand, is neutral. But the foot can become an instrument of sin. It becomes an occasion for sin, a means by which we sin against God. And Jesus said, if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better, he says, to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell. Jesus is saying to us, it's better to hobble into heaven on crutches than to go to hell with 2 good feet and 2 good legs. Jesus is saying to us, it is better to be rolled through the gates of glory as a one-legged man in a wheelchair than to strut through the gates of hell with 2 feet. He's saying to us, it is better to crawl on our hands and knees into eternal life than it is to be cast into hell with 2 feet. Jesus is saying to us, don't go to hell. Don't go there. Hell is an awful place. And Jesus warns us about hell. And so there's the hand. And there's the foot. And then there's the third metaphor, verses 47 and 48. Here we learn that hell is a greater horror than losing an eye. As important as an eye is to the normal functioning of the human body, It's better to lose an eye and be a one-eyed person than it is to have both eyes and go to hell. Look in verse 47 and 8. And if your eye causes you to sin, Jesus said, pluck it out. Gouge it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. You see, if the hand symbolizes what we do and the foot symbolizes where we go, the eye symbolizes what we see, what we take in, what we visualize. And again, like the hand and the foot, the eye itself is neutral, but it can become an instrument of sin. Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, if there's some things that you look at that cause you not to love God, that cause you to sin, that cause you to stay away from God, that cause you not to trust Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, there are things like that that you're unwilling to give up. Jesus said, it's better to pluck it out in order that you go to heaven and that you not go to hell. Now, may I remind us this morning that our eternal destiny is not determined by our hands or our feet or our eyes. These are just instruments through which sin expresses itself. I want you to go with me back just a chapter or two to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. And you'll remember a few Sundays ago we dealt with these verses, verses 20 through 23. Because here's the heart of the matter right here. Mark 7, verse 20 and following. Jesus said, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within him, out of men's hearts come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. And all of these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. So the heart of the problem is the problem of the human heart. But having said that, In Mark chapter 9, Jesus is saying the hand and the foot and the eye become channels or instruments by which the sinfulness of the human heart can be expressed. Therefore, in order to guard our heart, we are to separate ourselves from any habit, any lifestyle, any action, any place we go, any desire we have that would seek to draw us away from God and cause us to be separated from God. And so we read back in Mark chapter 9, verse 47, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If looking at something causes you to sin, a particular magazine or a book or a movie or a television program incites sin in your heart, then Jesus says, lay it aside. It is better to have one eye and enter the kingdom of God than to have two eyes and to be thrown into hell. Now, what's hell like? Well, this is just one verse, verse 48, but it's suggestive of what other passages in Scripture teaches. Jesus said of hell in verse 48, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Some of you are saying, Brother Al, do you believe that's a literal fire? Jesus did, and I believe Jesus knows far more about this than I do. Jesus said it was fire. He said it's a different kind of fire. It's not a fire that dies out when the fuel is consumed. It is an eternal fire. It is not quenched. And Jesus is saying here, don't go to hell. Whatever you do, don't go to hell. John Wesley was the founder of the modern Methodist movement. They say that Wesley would say to those who would listen to him preach, he would counsel them to go home and take a candle and light it and put their fingertips just over the flame, in the flame, and let the flame burn their fingertips. And he said, you can only do this a few seconds before you withdraw your fingertips because of the pain inflicted by the flame. And then Wesley would say to them, now, as painful as that is, think about your entire body in the fires of hell, the unquenchable fires of hell. Jesus is warning us against hell. Hell is a real place. It is a place of eternal fire. and the unsaved will be there. Those who turn their backs on God will be in hell. Those who reject the love of grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ expressed on the cross will spend eternity in hell. Sir Francis Newton was the head of an infidel club in England. Throughout his life, he was an outspoken infidel, but on his deathbed, he said to those who were gathering around him as he died, "You need not tell me there is no God, for I know there is one, and that I am in his angry presence. You need not tell me there is no hell, for I already feel my soul slipping into its fires. Wretches, cease your idle talk about there being hope for me. I know that I am lost forever." And so it is for those who slip into eternity without Christ. Lost forever in hell. Hell is a place of sorrow and horror, of pain and punishment, of torment and terror, of weeping and wailing, of death and damnation, of fire and fear, of darkness and despair. There's a place where there is no love, no happiness, no peace, no music, no rainbow, no flowers, no singing, no friends, no joy, no rest, no water. And most of all, no hope. No hope. No hope because the love of God is not in hell, for it is to be separated from ever from God. Such is hell. Don't go to hell. In this passage, Jesus is saying, don't go to hell. Don't go there. Don't go there. 100 years from this moment, every one of us will be somewhere in eternity. Those of us who are saved will be in heaven. And those who slip into eternity unsaved will be in hell. It gives me no pleasure to preach from Mark chapter 9. But I must warn you, because Jesus has warned us all. And I would forsake the call of God in my life if I did not declare to you the whole counsel of God and say to you, there is a heaven to gain, but there's also a hell to miss. And whatever you do, make sure you don't go to hell. Make sure you don't go to hell. December 12, 1994, a dense fog settled in over South London. There is what we would call an interstate, what the British call a motorway. The M25 motorway, which circles the city of London. When the fog settled in on the south part of that motorway, the hazard lights began to flash, warning drivers to slow down because of the dense fog. But most of the drivers were oblivious to the warning. 6:15 that morning, a large truck carrying huge rolls of paper was involved in an accident, blocked the motorway. Within minutes, car after car after car piled into this large truck. Dozens of cars were wrecked. 10 people lost their lives that day. Soon a police patrol car was on the scene, and two policemen ran back to the motorway to stop oncoming traffic. They waved their arms and they shouted as loud as they could, "Slow down, there's an accident ahead." But most of the drivers ignored their warning, and they raced toward the disaster that awaited them. In their desperation, these policemen picked up the traffic cones and they flung them at the cars, at their cars' windshields as they sped toward the site of the accident, trying to warn these drivers of the danger. One officer, with tears streaming down his face, told how car after car went by and did not heed his warning until the sickening crash of another car in the massive wreckage down the road. They were warned, but they did not heed the warning. Jesus has warned us. Jesus has said to us, don't go to hell. Don't go to hell. Don't go to hell. What about you? You don't have to go to hell. You have a choice. By the grace of God, you are in this Christian worship service. By the grace of God, you've heard the Word of God. By the grace of God, you've been warned that there's a lake of fire. There's a place called hell where the fire is not quenched and where the worm does not die. And you don't have to go there if you'll come to Christ. You see, there's a choice, either heaven or hell. And the difference between heaven or hell is found outside the city gates of Jerusalem when the sinless Son of God was nailed to a cruel Roman cross, and who bore in His body on that cross my punishment and your punishment and my hell and your hell, that you and I might go to heaven. Don't go to hell. My dear friend, I plead with you today, don't go to hell. Don't slip into eternity without Christ. Pray together. Oh God.